little bit on what God has done for us in 2019 and what he is going to do in 2020. I want to start out, but let's read Psalm 9, 1 through 2. I think this is fitting. It says, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart, and I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. I think during the time, as I preached last week, that we looked at a new year and old resolutions, that we spent a lot of time during the end of the year and the first of the year trying to get away from something, trying to run away from the old year and all of its problems and things. It seemed like only people will remember the bad things that happened in the prior year. And as I told you, I lost my last grandparent. I lost my mother last year. There's all kinds of things that I could say that 2019 was a horrible year, but it wasn't. It was a wonderful year. It was a blessed year. Yes, did it have tremendously bad things that had taken place in it, but so does every other year, right? I can't count in 31 years that I've had. I can't count one that didn't have some kind of major tragedy or some big problem that had taken place. And if we allow that to define us, then every single year you're going to have a bad one. And you're going to be every year at the end of that year trying to run away from that to just somehow jump into the next year as if January the 1st is going to reset some kind of clock. It doesn't. It's the same continuous thing that goes on. And I just believe if you have an attitude of gratitude to where we're praising God for what he's doing for us every day, and if you're looking for those blessings that God has given us, then you're going to have a joy every single day because he blesses us every day. We are, and I love the song that Jerry was singing because there's a line in there, and I can't quite recall it right this second, but you said, you're not going to ask for any more blessings because you're already blessed enough. Wouldn't that be an attitude that we could possibly get to, that we could say, God, you've already done everything for us. And I love the song that we sing that says, and I mentioned this before, that he gave his life. What more could he give? Okay, God has blessed us, and I believe that we should praise him and that we should sing praises to his name. So I want to mention a couple of things in 2019 that God has allowed us to do in this church. And a lot happened in our individual lives, but also in the church itself. But I look at every single ministry across our church, and things have been going so really well. Our Sunday school and small groups are going strong. We have our two adult classes. We have our youth class, our children's classes. That we've broken up children into two different classes now. And so we have consistent teachers, consistent help in there, and really some good discipleship is happening across the Sunday school and small group times now. Whereas before, I can remember a time when we were having, we had one adult class. There were six adults in that class. There and one teacher. We have great attendance in both classes now across the board. Our Sunday morning children's church has absolutely exploded over the past couple of years. I attended a meeting. I think I've mentioned this to y'all, but I attended a meeting in children's church 4 or 5 months ago, and they were talking about, we need to have one more person to help in children's church. And they were going through a lot of changes. And as I sat there, they said, well, we have 15 people to help, but we need one more to make 16 so we can have 4 people each Sunday. And I thought, these people have lost their minds. They have no earthly idea where we've come from. We used to beg and plead and tell people, you know, listen, you know, just do it today and we can make it through today. We were trying to get one person for each Sunday. They have 4 now. Every Sunday, different people. That was astounding to me as I sat there and I thought, oh, well, y'all just don't know how blessed y'all are. But Sunday morning children's church has went from 4, 5, 6 kids or so where we needed 1 or 2 people a week to where it's at least double digits every Sunday typically. And they have been back there, haven't you, Kathy, with more than 20. That's scary. We're in here just going wrong. They're back there being tortured to death. Now, I'm joking. That would be torture for me. But people like Beverly and these folks, they love them little kids. I have 2. It's about all I can take. So But y'all think about that. Sometimes when we're in here and you come to church on Sunday morning, you run out and you leave and you go to lunch because you say, man, I wish he'd hush. And then you finally get to dinner and you don't think about what has gone on ministry-wise in this place. And I think what's happening around children since 2017, was it, Brooke, we started Awana? So this will be the third year in that. But I think in our children's church ministry and things, it's been going on so well back there. And thank you for all the volunteers that started. And that really happened during 2019. Thank you. Yeah. Because these folks are not getting paid to be back there and be tortured. But we started live streaming last year, too, which is we've always recorded audio. But we started live streaming and video streaming. And that took off a lot faster than I ever thought it would do. We really were only live streaming because that's the easiest thing to do. You hit the live stream button. It saves it to Facebook. You don't have to upload the videos or whatnot. And I figured we'd have 5 or 6 people that may go back and look at those videos. And then, they may not be at church or something like that. But we always have 30 to 50 to 75 people that are looking at those every single week that are not in our services here. And that has really, Diane Algier, who's not here today, but she started coming and has wanted to join. And had she been here today, we would have opened the doors of the church and she would have been able to join. But she started coming here before she came here. She started watching and live streaming on Facebook, and she was reaching out trying to find a church that still had a van ministry that could run and pick her up because she doesn't drive. Okay, this happened in 2019, and she called all different types of bigger churches in our area. Nobody that she called, and there are churches that have van ministries, but she did not get any of the larger churches. But she got us on Facebook, and we said, sure, two vans sometimes, and we came and got her. But even when she's not here, she watches that. And so that has been something that has really expanded our ministry outreach in our church. And I think many people in here, bless y'all's heart, have watched it from home. I can't listen to myself once, much less listen to it on video, listen to me live, much less listen to it later. So God has really blessed us in that, and it has really been a blessing, not only for those people that couldn't make it to church because they're sick or whatnot, but for people that are working, those volunteers that want to stay up on the series that we may be doing on Wednesday nights or Sunday mornings, and they're having to work in other parts of the church. And they're able to not just have to worry about a TV in the nursery, which you can't hear anyway because kids are running around screaming, but they can go back and listen to it later. So that has been a wonderful blessing. And Wednesday nights have totally been transformed for the past couple of years. And I can't thank all of y'all enough that have taken of your time and your talents to be back there with those children. And we probably have 50 or so kids on the rosters for Awana. That 25 or 30 of them, are pretty well active every Wednesday night in this church. And we're picking up kids all the way down on 2nd Avenue here and making bussing kids in. And you're talking about some underprivileged children, y'all, that are really wearing on the nerves of some of our volunteers sometimes. But these are the people we're trying to reach. Okay? We can't say, well, we have a kid that has a little behavior problem. They can't come to church. We might as well shut the place down. We are here to reach out to people that need us. And these children, they are literally folks, and I thought this had changed over the past 20 years or so, but they're literally people putting kids on buses, on our buses. We had to stop this, and they don't even know where they're going. Okay? So this is the level of parental involvement that some of these folks are having. And so if we turned them away, who would they have? It won't happen as long as I'm standing here, okay? We'll be going and getting those types of people. And sometimes I have to, give a little encouragement to our people that are teaching them and whatnot. And it is difficult. There is no doubt about it. When you have kids that don't have that level of home training, but that's what discipleship is all about. Is training up people. And you know what? If we have to take on a little bit of air of parenting, then that seems to me just what we're going to have to do. Because I wouldn't be standing here today as your pastor if there were not people in the church that said, I'm going to invest in that boy a little bit more than just spiritual stuff. I'm going to be his mama or his daddy. And it was church people that did that for me. There may be somebody that's coming here, we're bussing in, that you thought was a, you know, I don't want to say a hellion from the pulpit, but I guess I did. But they may be somebody who is going to be going out and proclaiming the gospel. There was a lot of folks that needed some raising in the Bible, and they turned out to be okay. And that's where ministry is all about, on the ground, in the highways. We talk about letting folks come in from the highways and byways. Well, when they come in, you have to expect that we're going to have to invest in them. And that's what we've been doing, and God is blessing us because of that. In addition to Awana, our adult Bible studies, we have adult Bible study in here. And then we have our recovery Bible study as well for adults, and that is going really well. But a couple of statistics, and this is all God, and I'm not trying to brag about it, because it's the only thing is that God gets all the praise. He gets all the glory for these things that are happening. But as I reflected in 2019, and I started to compare what we had been doing in years past, God is just blessing us more and more to be able to do more and more. And we were able, if I can read what I've got here, in addition to the blessings in the regular services, in 2019, God blessed us to be able to donate enough money for the Gideons to place over 750 complete Bibles, okay? Or if you want to look at that in New Testaments, 2,500 New Testaments in Bibb and West Crawford, okay? Praise God for that and what we're able to do. 3,730 dollars and some odd cents, I think, was the amount of money that the Gideons left with to be able to purchase those Bibles. $5 for a full Bible, about $1.50 for a New Testament. From what this church has been able to do, the play reaches about 900, you know, almost 900 people every year. People that won't come to church for any other reason but to see the play. And you say, that's not true. They don't come. I want you to know, I had five of my employees from the bank, none of which go to church any time throughout the year, but they sat right back there to see this play in 2019. And they actually, two of them, maybe they're, I'm gonna get in trouble by saying this, because they watched my live stream every single week. So you tell me that the play doesn't do something and the media stuff up there doesn't do anything. I tell them, y'all do go to church, okay? Now if we can just get them in the door. But hey, you got it real hard sometimes when you're fishing, okay? We just sent a couple, you know, months ago in November, 404 boxes to Operation Christmas Child. Amen. I mean, in 2017, we had done 370 or 380, something like that, boxes. I can't recall. But Brooke, what was the total number that Peggy told us we had done? 1,500? Yeah. Somewhere in that thing. Almost since we began doing Operation Christmas Child, and we started, we did 25 or 23 boxes. And now we do over 400 boxes. We don't have 400 people here. There's 115 to 120 people here today. But throughout the year, we had 404 boxes. Now, that was a feat in and of itself, but I figured we would probably get there. What I didn't know, and I really didn't put a lot of faith in, is that we were going to get the $3,700 that we needed to pay for the $9 of shipping on all of those boxes. And by George, did we not only fill 404 boxes, but we paid $9 for every one of them to be shipped to. Now that's God, okay? That's God, no doubt about it. our Sunday school and small groups raised enough money for us to take 74, I think it was, Earl, wasn't it 74? 78, somewhere around in there, Christmas gifts to the residents of the Pruitt Eastside Nursing Home. And even though they were having a stomach flu going around there, a lot of us went in there and with hazmat suits on and braved it. And some of them, I just said, well, whatever. And I went on in there, and we were able to minister to those people in that nursing home. And folks, I can tell you right now, Outside of going to a third world country and seeing how people live, going into a nursing home full of sick and elderly people that have hardly nobody, I think it was so low a percentages of people that do not get seen in that nursing home is why we chose them. Going in there and seeing how these folks are living after all of those years of probably investing in their family members and whatnot, and to be left there with nobody really, really humbles you to how blessed we are every single day. And to go in there and minister to those was very heartwarming, especially during the Christmas time. And we appreciate everybody for contributing to that and for us being able to have the means to do it. So I just look back at 2019 and see how much God has blessed us and what we are doing in this church. I can tell you that this church, and I have been here, I guess this will start my 13th year at United Community Church. This church has never been as strong and as healthy and as stable as it is today. It never has been this way. We praise God for what He is doing in this place. But we haven't done all of that to get to a place where we go, oh, we've arrived and we're done and we've achieved our goals and all the rest of it. We have before, and I say this in closing, I promise you. I have sat in a board meeting some many years ago, and we talked about how do you grow the church. At that time, we were having 50, 60 folks or so. How do you grow the church? Well, let's give a $50 Kroger gift card to the person that brings the most people to church next Sunday. And I said, whoa, hold on a minute. I think you're putting the cart before the horse. Okay, if you do that, and the board at that time looked at me and said, I was just, a little associate and youth pastor. They looked at me and said, oh, well, I guess we're going to have to put the cart before the horse here. And I said, well, see how that'll drive. And I don't say this in gloating. It's because when you look at ministry, I am not going to pay anybody to bring people to church the next Sunday so they're not here the next week. That don't make any earthly sense to me. And a cart doesn't drive horses, okay? Last time I checked. And so what I'm saying to you is it has taken a long time. It has taken a long time for us to get where we are now. And many of y'all, and Susan mentioned that she doesn't know a lot of people in here because our church has changed tremendously over the past several years. We've lost a lot of our wonderful pillars and elderly people. But God has sent so many of you here that are working and that are in ministry. I love every one of y'all for everything that you do every day. But that is how you are successful when it comes to God, investing in His kingdom, doing what He has said to do, and not gimmicks and all the rest of that kind of stuff. It is not working. We can entice people to come to church, all the rest of it. Let's eat every Sunday. We'll have a packed house, as long as you tell everybody that we're eating, that next week. But if you don't have food the next week, they're not coming. Okay, Jesus had 5,000 people when they ate, 12 when they wouldn't. The math isn't quite like that. But I just believe, I'm not worried about how many numbers of people we have here. It's immaterial to me. I mean, I kind of want more than five, We need at least a quorum. But I'm not worried about, are we going to have 200 people next year? I'm worried about, are we investing in the people we have? Are we ministering to the people that we have? Are we discipling the people that we have? Are you growing spiritually? Okay. If that is what is happening, God is going to send more people because He's going to say that's a place that can mature a just now born again Christian. Okay. That's what church is about. I told you weeks ago that my job is to equip the saints for the works of ministry. That's what my role as a pastor is. We're all to be going out and evangelizing and ministering to people all over. But if we can't take care, and I don't mean pay your light bill, if you need that, well, we'll send it to the committee. But if we can't take care of our own people spiritually, God is not going to send us not one other person. We're in such a place today, there's no reason that we can't disciple the kids that we're being brought to this church, the youth that are here, the adults that are here. There is no reason we are set up with everything we need. We got a building, we got money, we got resources, we got people that are working. There is nothing else that we've got to, that we need from God to do for our church to be set up. And we've been out doing outreach all the time, but all I can tell you is there is a 180 degree, 160 at least, shift that'll need to be made. You consistently be doing in discipleship, but we must be ready to go out and do what God wants us to do, to outreach into our community, to do more things. We had a great outpouring of people that came for the nursing home. But there could have been more. There could have been more. It's easy, folks, to write your check and drop it in that offering plate. And that's wonderful for you to do that. But what is the money? What is the money if we don't have people to put together the boxes? If we don't have people to take those boxes to those places, you got to have the money, but you also have to have, which we do here, so I'm preaching to the choir, okay, but you've got to have folks that are willing to go out and do ministry. And that means sometimes we got to roll up our sleeves and we got to get down and dirty in the highways and byways. And I hope you're ready for that, because that's the next level, that we must be able to do that outside. And there's many ways that we give you opportunities to be able to do that here in this church. But I can tell you one thing. This is not a threat, because I don't have to threaten y'all, because you already do it. I will resign from this church or any church that I may have been at if I ever thought that that church was only worried about the people inside its four walls and didn't want to go out and reach out to the rest. If they say, I don't want to do that, we just want to sit here in our comfy place and we don't want to reach out to the broken and all the rest of that, and I'll go, bye, y'all are a country club, see ya, and I'm out the door. Okay, that's not what it's about to me. It's about being out there with the people, and I can look around here and see that in 2019 we have been really successful in reaching out, and people want to come to church here because they feel welcome, they feel that we're real. Okay, we're not trying to be the best. I'm not trying to compete with this church down the road or the church down here. I'm trying to be who we are and what God has for us. And so in 2020, I would just say, let's get ready. And the play is our first opportunity out of the gate to do some major outreach to people. And so make sure that you sign up for that. I want to ask our deacons and all if they'll come, and we're going to take communion. I know that it's after 12 o'clock, but this will be your appetizer. You won't need to worry about that. If you go to lunch, you can get right to the main entree. I know. I don't know where's that. But let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get communion started. Father God, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for this time that we've had. Lord, we thank you for the warrior heirs and the ministering, Lord, that they've done to us in song today. Father, I thank you so much for the spirit that they have, Father God, the testimonies that they bring to us. Lord, we just love them so much, Father, and we just ask you to bless them today. Lord, bless every single person that is here, and Lord, and prepare our hearts and our minds before we take this communion, before we begin to pass it out, Father God, that everything that we've said is to your glory and to your honor, Father, and everything we do is because we are trying, Lord, to do what you would have us to do in this earth, to be your hands and to be your feet, Father God, to extend your ministry. And Lord, where we have failed, we ask you to forgive us for that. And Lord, we ask for your leadership and your guidance into 2020, Father God, because everything that we do in this place, every amount of money we spend, resources that we put into something, we want to make you proud, and we want to be worthy of the sacrifice that you made for us on the cross of Calvary. Lord, we just thank you for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.